Good evening. I would like to call to order the regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council at 6:02 PM on Tuesday, January 25th. Before we get started, I would like Councilman Coleman to read the mission statement.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Okay, thank you. This time I'll call for a roll call. City Clerk, please call the roll.
Certainly, sir. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Looby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Present.
Mr. Tungo?
Here.
Mr. Tudyakov?
Here. We do have a quorum. This time, please join us, I'll ask Councilman Nicholson to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. This time we'll recognize visitors. We got Carl Mahalik and his wife and Marie, yeah, welcome. And who's in the back?
Will Rogers.
Okay.
They're right here.
Oh, okay. First time I've actually seen you, so thank you. Will Rogers from the clinic. All right, need a motion and a second to adopt the agenda.
Make a motion to adopt the agenda. Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson, seconded by Councilman Tungo.
Make a motion to amend the agenda by removing item 10B, a review of the draft cost benefit analysis, the Captain's Bay Road paving and utility extension project.
Moved by Councilman Robinson to amend, to remove the Captain's Bay project discussion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Looby. If there is no objection, the agenda is adopted as amended. No objection, it is amended and approved. Next item six is the approval of the minutes of the previous meeting, January 11th. May I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of January 11th meeting?
Move to approve the minutes of previous meeting, January 11th, 2022.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungo, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. If there's no objection, the minutes are approved. Hearing no objections, the minutes are approved. Our next item is item seven, the city manager report for January 25th, 22. And I'll turn it over to city manager at this time.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The manager's report is in your packet. I do have a couple of updates I would like to share. The latest local COVID case count as of yesterday is 136 known active cases, with 41 of those classified as community cases. This is actually down from the total of 354 total cases and 109 of those being identified as community cases that are noted in the January report, in the January report from January 19th. So that is certainly good news. The mayor and I had a call with Will Rogers and Jen Heller of the clinic today. Folks continue to test positive, obviously, but the good news is a lot of those are displaying minor symptoms, and there still has been no hospitalizations that they are aware of. So that's, again, is good news. IFHS has also ordered more of those home test kits that can be distributed to individuals. I just heard before this meeting that some of those kits have already been delivered on island. and been, and so folks can go and pick some of those up for their households at both the PCR and the library. I think we're asking for people to limit how many they're taking for their household just so we can spread the wealth and spread the joy. So that's good news. I also did want to let everybody know, as a follow-up to the emergency rule petition item that I've outlined in the memo, we just heard today that NOAA has denied the emergency action request that would have basically shut down the pollock fishery. That is what we wanted. So good news there. That's all the updates I have for you tonight. Happy to try to answer questions that you might have.
Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you. Maybe Mr. Rogers can answer this, but the FDA just recently pulled two brands of the monoclonal antibodies. Are those any of those affected in the clinic? Yeah. No. Do you have the ones that have been pulled for use? No. Sorry.
Yeah, I quite frankly, I wasn't made aware that there were some pulled from use, but I'll check on it tomorrow and find out. I know we have them on hand, but
right, there were two different makes. I forget right off the bat which ones they were, but they've pulled the emergency use authorization for them. I think there's still three other ones that are available. I was just wondering if some of those are. I'm going to affect the clinic.
I'll get back to Erin and she can inform the council.
Right, thanks.
All right.
I think that's all I have at this point. I'm glad we pulled it CBA for Captain's Bay Road. I was a little disappointed in that.
Great, thank you. Councilman Tungo?
Yeah, on those test kits, besides those home ones, do we still have available at the clinic? Because some people don't trust those type of tests. They want to get a real accurate testing when they go to the clinic. For some reason, I heard a lot of people saying that they ran out.
Testing still is available at the clinic. So if that's needed, obviously they're still encouraging folks to use the home tests if they've got them. The clinic has ordered additional tests for clinic use as well, and obviously, I mean, so they've got it, but I think they are still ordering more to continue that service as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Anyone else? Comments or questions for the city manager? Councilman Robinson?
Sorry, one other thing I forgot is there's also a new super variant of the Omicron, and it's been evading the PCR tests. There's three known cases this morning in the United States. It's in 40 countries already. But they expected it to be a lot more contagious than the regular Omicron. So I'm wondering if we just keep our eyes out for that. So yeah, they named it. I forgot. I didn't write it down. It's a couple of letters and a number. So.
Okay, thank you. Any more comments or questions from council? At this time, I'd like to, at last night's meeting on the special meeting of the city council, I was commenting on the loss of key personnel within the city. I mentioned Mr. Thompson at the city power plant, and I would like to apologize for that. I was using him as an example of a Mr. Thompson has had a remarkable job in that position as the acting utility director. A very important job to keeping our lights and utilities operational. His name was inadvertent. I meant no negative impact to himself or to his workers. And I apologize for that comment, and I will say that I do stand by the issue of getting good working people within our community into the future. So with that, I'll leave it at that. Any further comments from the council? Okay, hearing none. Wear your mask, 6 feet distancing, get the shot, because it is not a good thing to get on the vaccine. At this time, we'll move down to item 8, community input and announcements. It's time for members of the public to provide information to council or to make announcements of interest to the community. We have 3-minute limit for a person, and there will also be an opportunity for comment near the end of the meeting. Do I have any comments from the community? Does anyone wish to speak? Anyone on Zoom or telephone?
Yes, our PCR director, Roger Blakely, has some announcements for PCR.
Okay, thank you. Roger.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Just wanted to let you know that tomorrow is the last day for our self-care bingo. So folks, get out there, do a few more things, you know, learn a new phrase or word in a different language, or go to the beach, do some things, exercise, fill in the blanks, and then come in and spin the wheel for prizes. On February 20th, it's a Sunday, we're going to have a father-daughter dance. The tickets will go on sale on February 1st at the front desk at PCR. Please come early. They will go fast. Youth and adult soccer registration is now open, with games starting in February 28th. Coaches and adult referees are needed. So if you want to participate in that, please get in here early, sign up. Everything fills up very fast, so I wanted to give everybody a heads up. And that's all for me. Thank you so much, Mayor and Council.
Great. Thank you very much for that information. Anyone else out there on Zoom or telephone?
I don't have anybody else on Zoom, sir, but could I make a couple of announcements?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, thank you. Just for everyone, Mayor and Council and the community, March 1 is the deadline for submitting your business personal property tax returns to the city clerk's office. March 1 is also the deadline for senior citizens, disabled veterans, and fire and EMS volunteers to submit their real property tax exemption application. And finally, March 31st is the deadline for senior citizens to submit their application for a sales tax refund. Thank you.
Well, thank you for reminding me. We'll get to it. And please get out, get your information and submit it if you are meet any of the qualifications. All right, thank you. Next is a public comment on agenda items. At this time, for members of the public to provide information to council regarding items on the agenda. If they don't want to wait until the item comes up on the regular agenda, to comment later during the regular agenda when the item is discussed, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Does anyone in the room wish to speak? Hearing none, city clerk, do you have a written comment submitted, or does Zoom or phone have somebody on to speak?
No public comment, sir.
Okay, none? Okay. Thank you. We'll move on to a public hearing. Members of the public may testify for about any item set for public hearing. There's a 3-minute time limit per person. The only item set for public hearing today is Ordinance 2022-01, creating a budget amendment number 3 to the fiscal year 2023-22 budget, accepting an ARPA Easy Grant for Libraries Award on the amount of $6,000 from the Alaska State Library, increasing the electric utility fund budget in the amount of $3 million due to increased diesel fuel costs, and returning a portion of the project cost to the original funding source for selected capital projects. The public hearing is now open. Does anyone wish to speak? City Clerk, is there, we have written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or telephone?
None, sir.
Thank you. The public hearing is now closed. Next up is a work session. I have a motion to and a second to go into a work session.
Make a motion. We proceed into a work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Dungal. Okay, we're in a work session. Let's see. Are there any objections to going into a work session? The council, hearing none, we are in a work session at 6:17 p.m. First item on the agenda is the request for memorial to the fishermen of Unalaska by Carl Mahalik. Before he gets started, I'll briefly go over his request. This was brought forward to me by Mr. Mahalik about 2.5 months ago, and I asked him to do up a letter of request for funding about a month ago. When he asked about it again, we did discuss it. He gave a presentation, I believe it was in September or October. During the process of all this, one of the main items I asked for was the amount that he would be requesting from the city. He did give that amount in a letter requesting would the city be willing to contribute $350,000. Before that is thought about, I asked him to also give me a list of items about what he's doing between the last time we had a meeting and where we are today. Since I've talked to him, he's founded a nonprofit 501c3, the Rusting Man Foundation. It was formed on October 14th, and contributions are tax deductible. He has started a fundraising effort in the community and outside of this community with various entities and individuals to help with the total amount of his goal is $500,000, all inclusive of materials, labor, shipping, and installation. To date, he has very strong support from the financial commitment and various other amounts from various entities. He is here this evening, and I'll ask him to briefly go over his request, and then I'll ask the council for some guiding thoughts or questions you may have. I truly believe Unalaska, being the largest city fishing community in the West, in the United States, that we should have a memorial of some sort, and so we'll go from there. What amount is up to the council to decide, and I'll leave it at that. Mr. Mahalik, you can give us your presentation, and I know usually I limit to 3 minutes, but hopefully we can get by with 3 minutes, but we'll see where we go. Thanks.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Councils. I'm here just basically moral support, so I let Carl to talk, but I'm here to help.
Yeah, my name is Carl Mahalik, and I've been a resident over 30 years in Dutch Harbor, and last time I proposed the Fisherman's Memorial thing, and I'm ready for you guys' questions. Yeah, ready for questions.
I thought you said you were going to show me your spreadsheet.
We assume you're right.
Sorry. Okay, well, I'll ask council members. Councilman Robinson, you have any questions?
Yeah, sure. Maybe it's a little premature, but Have you got anything, any money in the bank yet?
No.
There's commitments.
Not yet. All the companies which they verbally agreed to support this project, I didn't want to get any money out of them because I don't know if project will actually happen. So we have to.
We didn't want to take money from the companies and then bring them back to the companies. So that's why. Of course, we had to put $500 to open the account. So that's there.
So, yeah, I like the list that's going on, that you have here right now. But one thing I see is lacking is fishing vessel owners in there. I don't see a lot of the fishing vessel owners that...
Oh, this is just a list of people who I actually talked to. The list will be way longer once we get it
right.
Going, actually.
Yeah, there BNN Fisheries and Trident Seafoods on the list.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, like we intend to, you know, go to American Seafoods, everybody else who we know, because everybody still knows us. After 30 years working in the fishing industry, we still come to Seattle and people go, oh, hi, how are you? You know, yeah, we'll do whatever. So we're kind of counting on that, but we did not want to commit and start taking money from different companies until we know that actually the council here said, yes, we'll go for it. And it's sure thing to do. I think
right.
It's understandable.
And here's what I'm getting at is last night we had a special meeting looking at the fiscal, you know, our fiscal, you know, basically what our revenues are going to be, a revenue forecast. Even though in some areas it looks good, but in the years to come, we're definitely going to, looks like we'll quite possibly take a hit to our budget. And, you know, at this point, looking at other communities that put memorials in, they were primarily funded by the fishermen, so that's what I'm getting at is I'd like to see more than 30% come from the fishermen.
Okay.
And you know, so maybe a little less from the city. You're asking the city for 70% of the total budget.
So your idea is maybe 50% from fishermen.
So I think, I mean, at this point, my feeling is, yeah, as a council member, commit to the city to $250,000 of that $500,000. That'll show that the memorial is quite on its way, and I think it'll free up some of the money that some of the fishermen have or be willing to put to it. So, but I do see a need to include the vessel owners in this.
Yes.
That was the original idea. Anyway.
Yeah, I understand that, but I mean, yeah. At this point, that's what I'm going to be looking for.
No, that's totally fine. So if city would say $250, you would still be coming with a space for us and all that stuff.
That's and see that's something else that is a monetary value also, because it's going to have to, you know, I think my feeling is the Carly Moses Boat Harbor would probably be the ideal place. Councilmember Coleman had an idea that maybe over near the airport where everybody has to walk by it coming in here, but I don't think our airport master plan is going to be quite embracing of that. So, I mean, and like I said, I think the city could commit to a section at the Carly Moses Boat Harbor. Those are my opinions, my feelings on this. So, but I really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. And I'd like to see it built. So.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Councilman Robinson. Councilman Coleman, I heard your name mentioned. Give us more information about the airport.
Well, I had just mentioned in passing that there's that little corner at Airport Beach, and then the airport road actually belongs to the city. And I thought this is a good place to, because everybody goes by there. Anyway, good place to showcase something like this, piece of art, you know, that has a purpose. But anyway, yes, with the master plan, everything gets, that might not work. There's some, actually, if you guys, a couple things. There's some discussion points here that I think the clerk put in here that I thought was worthy of discussion, though. And I guess it kind of comes to, and so you maybe have to educate me, when it comes to ownership or dedication of a piece of art in a community, the artist, I mean, like, if you have, so I guess the since you're a 501c3 entity, that would be the owner of the Rusting Man would then now be the owner of that does that work?
Actually, what we had in mind, it would be owned by City of Onalaska. Once it's put on city's property and fully paid for or done with everything, we would not our the fundraiser.
So it would basically then be donated to the city?
Yes.
Yes.
It would be donated to the city. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There is no reason why the Rusting Man Foundation should own this. This is really totally done for the city, just because we've been living here for so long, and we were traveling through the whole world, mostly Iceland, that's where we mentioned it, and we saw it. Every little village has a beautiful memorial for fishermen.
Uh-huh.
And we came back to here, and we go like, and we don't have any. So that's how this idea started. So it would totally be City of Onalaska property.
Okay. And so I guess this next question is for the city manager, then comes to financial things. So thank you for the, you know, where we are on our, so this all would come out of our council budget, the proposing of whatever funds we were looking at doing, because how do we skirt that? Because we have still things going on for this fiscal year, and we're at $175,174. Available. So if Councilman Robinson, like, if for this fiscal year, if we end up proposing more, where does that additional funding possibly come from?
Yeah, we would need to take it from the general fund. Likely how I have not dug in. I mean, so right now, as you've indicated, you know, the $250,000 or the $300,000 is over half of council's budget annually. so it would depend on, so where the money comes from would actually that just depend on how much council decides to provide and in what time frame council decides to provide that. Then if you could give us that direction, then I could get with our team and try to figure out where that might come from. But if we're really talking $250,000, it would likely just come from our reserves in the general fund.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Yeah, like I said, last work session, I'm in support of it. I fully support it. I mean, you know, I know we talk, there's a lot on, you know, pinch and pennies for sure. And this is, timing on this is probably not always, but, it, you know, always needing something, I think is a good effort. And hopefully we'll move this forward in some kind of action item. But thanks for the work session. We can discuss this further. So I don't have any further comments at this time.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Next, I've got Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Then Councilman Bell.
I would be in full support of this. And the $250,000, I think that, or excuse me, yeah, the amount that Mr. Robinson had suggested, I think that would be a, you know, reasonable portion for the city. And we are in one of the, you know, larger fishing ports, and we do need to have a memorial. And one other question that I have, so once you build this, would you still be here to maintain it if there's damages and stuff like that?
Yes, I will maintain it for 1 year. If there is any damage or anything. Then I talked to UNSC people. They pledge maybe maintain it the other 2 years after, you know. That's a possibility.
Okay, thank you.
Because for us, we don't know how much longer or how often we'll be here because we keep traveling and living in between. So a year commitment would be good, but then we can find another company to do it, like locals, and then we'll go from there. But we would always oversee it.
So. Okay, thank you. And I am in full support of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Next, I've got Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I'll agree. I am in support of this, and I agree. You travel around the world in different ports and different cities, and you see monuments to different things, and, you know, a lot of the seaports, you know, you're going around the Mediterranean and around this country, and that you'll see monuments and stuff like this, and I think it's probably overdue. The CEM, I agree, is probably a good place for it. As far as the money goes, probably about the worst time to be asking for money. But I my personal opinion is I would commit to, you know, whatever the dollar amount is that would finish the project. You know, once all the other donors or potential donors have been asked and we need the money to finish the project, I would be in support of whatever that dollar amount is, considering what the cost of the project is. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell, and Councilman Luby, and then Councilman Tungle.
Yeah, I think it's a really good project, and as everybody else has said, you do travel around the world, and you see that everybody has memorials for their fishermen and the ones lost at sea, and so it's great, and I really do think we should have one here as well. I've thought that for a number of years, so... I commend you guys for actually trying to make this happen. I think that's great. I guess the location is, you know, where we would, you know, be able to give you a place to put it and everything, where it's seen by everybody. And I kind of was thinking maybe even out at the city dock, at the UMC dock, because that's where all the cruise ships come in, and there's a lot of the larger fishing vessels are there and the crews off of there. I know the smaller fishermen are down at the Carl Moses Harbor, but they a lot of times just tie up and leave. So I like the idea of it being more visible. And everywhere I've been, it's been at a harbor, like at the Harbor Master's office, it seems like. It's right around there. So location, I guess, you know, would be kind of something to think about. But as far as funding goes... I'm right along with everybody else. Budgets are tight right now, and the uncertainty of everything that's happening. And I kind of agree with Councilman Bell there that it would be nice to, you know, be able to finish off the project and see if we could, you know, get enough donations from the fishing, you know, the other fishing vessels and stuff. So anyway, I think it's a great project. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Tungo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this project, we got to commit with the $250 before you start asking all the other entities for support, right?
Yes, that's good.
So unless you get that money from us, this project won't start.
No, I will start asking, getting money from the...
As long as we're committed.
Yes. Yeah,
as long as we're committed.
I see it's you guys committed, yeah. So I can start.
So you don't have to have our money, for the city money first, before you start collecting from
That's
other.
That's correct, yes.
And I agree, we got a lot of fishing boats that I'm pretty sure they'll be supporting this, because
yes,
it's
yes.
pretty much representing them on this on this project. You know, we got O'Hara, U.S. Seafood, we got Aleutian Spray Fisheries, big companies that been here a long time, and I'm pretty sure they'll be in big support of this project. And so if we commit $250,000 and you get more than what you, when you go to these other companies and you receive more funding, donation, are we going to have you're going to have money in the bank that's going to keep maintaining this gonna keep all the money to keep maintain. If you end up with $750,000, like for instance, in the bank to build this, and you're only figuring out $500,000, so the money will the leftover money will be for maintaining and keeping.
Yes, but I will stop once I reaching this particular goal, and I'll stop raising money.
People want to donate. I don't think we want to stop raising when we have to maintain that constantly for years to come. It's nice to have money in that bank.
Yeah, but then we can do fundraising for maintenance, you know, once a year somehow. But yeah. I think idea is stop, you know, at a certain point.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, I'll be in full support of this. You know that. We've talked about this, and I'm 100% in support of this. But I don't think you want to stop bringing money for the support that if they want to support this this project with this other big fishing company, it'll be good.
Well, we'll see how this stuff will go once I start asking the big companies. You know,
I'll be in full support, and with $250,000, I'll be. What I'm saying, we might be putting less money if we get more money from outside source with a fishing vessel too. With the way the budget the city has, we're all looking really hard on the numbers we have right now.
Well, so, I'll keep you updated. You know how far I'm with the raising.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, this is a good project, and I'll be in full support of this.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. I guess my comments are you're requesting two separate issues. One is a 50-foot by 50-foot land site itself from the city, and that would be part of contribution by the city, some cost. I mean, there's a value to that, whatever it is, even if it's only 50 feet. You're talking about a walkway of some sort around it.
Yes, and benches.
Benches and that kind of thing. You know, those are things that could be part of that amount that we contribute in an ongoing type maintenance. I was looking at this several times, and I realized there's a decking. Would a concrete deck would work to look better? I mean, for maintenance work, for this kind of environment?
Yeah, I choose the upperton, whatever is on the boat, it have a feeling as the boat.
I see.
You know, but this, if it's not exposed to salt water, the upperton will last 15, 20, 30 years.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing, I'm just asking. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I'm in support of this. I think it's been past due. I am on the UNFA. I'll state that. We did contribute, I believe, $5,000 whenever you wanted to start this fund. And so I know that there's $5,000 in the pot now, and I highly recommend that the recommendation of Councilman Robinson regarding boat owners and private yachts or whatever come into this community, at least stay here year-round. You know, they are included in this and should be contributing. So I'm in support of it, as you know, Carl, and I, whatever the amount the council agrees to, we hope that you have a lot of good feelings from the other businesses in our community that are here and have made this community what it is with the help of, you know, the fishermen. And I know many of them that we've lost over the last 40, 50 years that I've been around the boat in this community. So I think it's well deserved. And having names on them, I understand it's going to happen at some point. I don't know. Has that been decided?
Will be mainly name of the vessels which, you know, get lost in the sea. Okay. Crew member is a little different story because then you have to search who was on which boat, right. And that's a little more difficult nowadays.
Well, that's something, you know, maybe down the line that some other entity could take over.
I did talk to Coast Guard, you know, they might have some kind of, you know, name list, but.
Yeah, it's nice to see, and the ones we've seen in Seattle and San Francisco and Monterey when I was down there, they're really nice, maintained by the community, not necessarily the city, but the community of fishermen, and it's an annual event to get some funding to get that done. So, Councilman Robinson?
Yes, for fishing vessel names as well as the names of the men that were on it and women that are on them that were lost. Captain Warren Good, he's compiled a huge database of ships all the way back to the 1800s to current. And so it's Alaska Shipwrecks, and he'd be a good source for vessels. He'll give you the locations, the dates that they've of their demise, and even, you know, he's got, like I said, a huge database on that.
Okay.
One other thing is, looking 5, 10, 20 years, 30, 50 years down the road, this is going to take some maintenance. We have these big black and white and sometimes brown colored birds here that'll poop about 2 cups of crap, and that's going to have to get washed off this stuff. Maintenance is going to be, something's going to have to be done about maintenance, and it's probably going to have to be agreed to way ahead of time. I don't know if it's possible to make that 501c3 into it's a nonprofit, so act as the other nonprofits in this community act, and their specific purpose would be to maintain and maintain the facility, because it's going to have to get maintained. It's great that you're going to do it for a year. Appreciate that, but you know, in 2 or 3 years, we'll know pretty much what it's going to take, and after a while, that cedar decking is going to have to be replaced. It doesn't last forever. Lasts a long time, but not forever. Those are some of my concerns. And just a suggestion to keep that 501c3 going and utilize that for future maintenance of the facility. So it's just a thought. So, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any more comments, Councilman Luby? And then,
yeah. So my question is actually for Aaron. if the 501c was not to continue for maintenance, and if this was donated to the city, then I would see that this going into one of the departments with the city to maintain and keep clean and all those kind of things. So, have you thought about where in the city budget or what department would be overseeing this, maybe? That might be something to look at.
So, sounds like there's plenty of ideas, but yes, we've been thinking about it. Frankly, there's been so many different ideas, you know, as this discussion has continued. And I was kind of waiting to see how it actually shook out before we really dug in. I would imagine, you know, much like with Memorial Park, it would be kind of a combination effort. You know, if it ended up at CEM, it would likely be a combination effort of, you know, the ports and facilities maintenance, likely. And I'm not, you know, so we would just needed to kind of dig in to see how that would be divided. I will say, if council, you know, it definitely sounds like there's a significant support for both providing land and monetary support. If that's council's wish, what we would, and as the memo outlines, would likely develop some sort of formal agreement that lays this all out, as far as, you know, where the responsibilities lie of the maintenance. You know, is that this nonprofit? Is that the city? You know, and then that would kind of give us some marching orders, at least to, okay, this is what we need to figure out from the city side. So, I think, whatever I'm hearing tonight, would be kind of worked into that agreement, and then likely other questions would come up and we'd have to, you know, talk it through and bring it forward to you in the future. Does that help?
It does.
There's some moving parts.
Yeah, no, and I know it's just some things to consider. Just the 501c3 could go out at any time, and then what happens to it? And I'd really hate to see, you know, something that nice to just kind of go by the wayside. And so I think that's something that we really need to think about.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Nicholson or Bell, comment? Councilman Tungle? Coleman? Well, hopefully we gave you more questions to answer than you got from us, but you have to understand it's part of our responsibility to a community to make sure that we do this the right, that we keep it right, so that we have something people can enjoy on into the future. And so we look forward to working with you. We might have some questions that the city manager mentioned, some items that maybe we'll have to get it put into writing. I will support an amount suggested of $250. But I'll also say that as part of that 250, maybe 50,000 of it would go towards maintenance or some sort for a period of years until I get the 501c3 operational, to maintain, to help with whoever department we're going to end up managing this park, because it will be a park. We're going to have benches and that kind of thing, and I'm sure we're going to see fishermen and community members meeting in that area to recognize those that were lost or those into the future. So we've got to make it right for them. So appreciate there's a beautiful stand out there that you brought, that you put together, and I hope that council the community will take advantage, and we can maybe move it to another location. It's been sitting in City Hall in the entryway as much as possible, so people coming and going, and some are very surprised and they like it. And maybe we can, something like this, we can put at the airport in the terminal somewhere to showcase it and say, fundraising drive, come up for $1,000 or no more or no less. See what happens. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Carl, for your, and Marie, for the presentation. And okay, we will consider this,
so are we starting
at our next meeting, I believe.
Yeah. Okay, so I just have a technical question. So should we start raising money and yes, see what's going to happen? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I would tend to agree that fundraising efforts should start as soon as.
Okay. That's what we needed to hear, basically. Yeah. Okay.
And I won't be surprised if you get phone calls by the time you get home wanting to donate. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great project, and I will urge the community and industry to support it.
Okay. Yes. That sounds great. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. That's a well-deserved product. We need it. Been needing it. Also, the next item. The next item is the consent agenda. The second item on the work session was moved to another meeting date. Captain Spade Road and Paving Utility Extension. So at this time, we'll move on to the consent agenda. There's only one item. Absent a request by council members to move the item to the regular agenda for discussion, the consent agenda is adopted without discussion and with a single vote. The title of the consent agenda item is Ordinance 2021-01, Second reading, creating a budget amendment number 3 to the fiscal year 2022 budget. Accepting ARPA Easy Grant for Library Award in the amount of $6,000 from the State of Alaska Library. Increasing the electric utility fund budget in the amount of $3 million due to the increased diesel fuel costs. And returning a portion of the project cost to the original funding source for selected capital projects. Make a motion to go into the regular session.
There you go.
Sorry,
make a motion to go into regular session.
Okay, moved by Councilman Roberts.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Tungle. There's no objection. We'll be back in regular session. Thank you for pulling the wool on that one.
Move to adopt the consent agenda.
Moved by Councilman Robinson.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Nicholson to adopt the consent agenda. Request the objections to having a...
Requires a roll call vote, sir.
Roll call vote.
All righty, Coleman.
Yes.
Bell.
Yes.
Nicholson.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Tungle.
Yes.
Luby.
Yes.
Vote of 6-0, the consent agenda item, ordinance 2022-01, second reading has passed. We are now in the regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda item must sign up with the city clerk. There's a 3-minute limit. First item under the regular agenda is ordinance 2022-02, amending chapter 6.40 of the Unalaska Code of Ordinance to provide a limited exemption for sales tax to federally recognized tribes. May I have a motion and a second to introduce ordinance 2022-02 and schedule for public hearing and second reading on February 8, 2022.
Make a motion to introduce ordinance 2022-02 and schedule for public hearing on February 8th, 2022.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. This ordinance was developed based on Council's direction from the December 14th work session. Because of that, staff is recommending approval. Madam Clerk has been heading this project up, so now I'm going to hand it over to Margie.
Thank you, City Manager. As the City Manager said, I have been heading this up, and this ordinance will amend our sales tax code to provide a limited exemption from sales tax to federally recognized tribes. The ordinance was written to comply with the direction that City Council gave and following a discussion that we had on this topic on December 14th. And you folks indicated to provide a limited exemption from sales tax for purchases made by tribal government entities acting in their governmental capacity only, leaving any commercial or business activities taxable. So you have some options. You can eventually adopt this ordinance as presented, or you could vote to amend it. You could change your mind and provide a full exemption from both governmental activities as well as commercial activities, or you could vote the ordinance down, essentially doing nothing, which in which case the tribes will not receive any exemption from sales tax. City Attorney Charles Cassiola prepared this ordinance, but unfortunately isn't available to join us this evening. So if you have any questions that I'm not able to answer fully, I'll certainly get the answers to those before the February 8th meeting when this will be scheduled for adoption and public hearing. As Aaron stated, because this ordinance complies with the direction you gave us, we recommend adoption.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Nicholson, do you have comments on the ordinance?
I'll be in support of this.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Tungle?
Yeah, I think I'll be in support of it.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Coleman?
Thank you. So we had discussed the limited, so your paragraph 4 basically takes care of that. This is recognized, they certify that they're doing, so I guess all it took was paragraph 4 to figure out that this is the change in ordinance that creates the limitation on it that you have there. The clerk may require such proof. So how do you, forgive me, if they do business as a government and sells, do not apply. But if there is a commercial venture, then, so I think one of the sticking points we had was how do you, you know, the paperwork distinguishing that when they're doing, under what entity or under what, how they're doing that. You, I mean, I know that that was the whole limitation part of it. So,
you're asking how I will determine if they're actually entering into commercial or business ventures?
Yes, I guess.
So right now, you know, I've been in communication with folks from the Coalinga tribe, and they don't presently have any commercial activities. I think I'm just going to have to keep in touch with them, and this is a somewhat small community, and so I think if the tribe entered into a business venture, I would likely know about it. But we can also audit their books. We have that authority, because we can do sales tax audits. Okay. And as you say here in this paragraph 4 under section 5, this allows me to require proof that they are properly using that exemption that we've, so if you eventually adopt this and supply it. If they do become into, start doing commercial activities, it could, potentially could get hairy trying to comb those away one from the other, whether it's a governmental activity or a commercial activity. That, it could get hard to determine those things. But maybe not. It depends on what that commercial activity is. I was talking with quite at length with the city attorney about this. And it's just like any other sales tax collector. I work with them every single day answering questions. Yes, this is taxable. No, this is not. No, that's exempt. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Here's how you report it. Here's how you collect it. Just part of the job.
Okay, and thank you, because I just didn't want to get in a position where it's like, oh, the clerk will figure it out. So, and
well, unfortunately,
yeah, that's how we're doing it.
That's kind of how it works.
Okay.
You know, nobody would want to read or administer a code that attempted to answer every single question that comes up. So it's part of the job.
I guess I was a little bit surprised about how general this is, but it's meeting the needs, if you feel like it's going to do it's the job it's supposed to do.
If they enter into commercial activities, say they, you know, open a hotel or some other thing, it may be at that point that the clerk would look at the code a little bit closer and say, okay, this isn't working.
Okay.
And we, you know, of course, we always have the, you folks have the power to amend code. I really didn't want to get into the arena where I'm trying to where it causes a lot of work to administer code. But right now, since they're not doing any commercial business activities, it's not that big a deal. It might become a bigger deal in the future, but that's a big if, and your guess is as good as mine if we'll ever get there.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Next, I've got Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I'm in support of this. To me, the tribe is a form of government, just like the city is, and I believe that they should be able to at least have purchasing power without paying a sales tax on top. And I think that's what this is really accomplishing, is that they can get that tax-exempt certificate so that they can purchase things tax-exempt. And like you said, right now they're not doing any commercial activity, so I think that's what it really is trying to accomplish at this point.
That's exactly, yes.
Okay. Okay, yeah, and I'm totally in support of this. This is something that that I thought about a couple of years ago for them, that they should have this tax exempt. So I'm in support of it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Newby. Next, Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Most all of what the tribe does is through grants from BIA or the federal government. And I support this, but I also think that if they get into a commercial area, now there are some things that might not look like a commercial area, but it's not my intent to grant. And I'll give you a for instance. If they get a large grant to do a road, none of that should be tax exempt, is my feeling, because a contractor is going to be utilizing that, you know, the funds. They'll be contracting with the tribe to operate that or to build that road. So those are things. I mean, it's not. Like I said, I support this, but to a certain extent, I don't want to see where it is abused, trying to get tax exemptions for large grants that they get for specific purposes, commercial roads. Another one that they do is they'll contract with getting some brownfield grants. And contracting with environmental companies to do cleanup, those items shouldn't be exempt. It's not my intention in voting for this is to exempt them. My intention on this is to see that the governmental operations that they have is tax exempt. So. There's some gray areas, but it's a new ordinance. I think it's going to probably may have to be defined in the future, but we're not there yet. So at this point, I'll support this. Thank you.
I do have a question, if I may, Mr. Mayor. So Councilmember Robinson, you mentioned grants, and specifically for road building and maybe environmental cleanup. Are these typically federal grants, federal government grants?
Yes. They are. They come from either through BIA, or it could become from the federal government, a department or a branch of the federal government.
And so I will specifically talk with the city attorney on that question about whether there's any, I'll ask him about that because I don't know if there's any, because it's a federal grant, there might be some exemptions that flow from that. I don't know. So that's a...
Right. Yeah.
And I did speak with the tribal administrator, and their funding is almost 100% grants. And I think he mentioned, I can't remember if the number was 30-some or 50-some grants that they're administering at any particular time, that all of their funding comes from grants.
That's all we got. Okay, thank you, Councilman Robinson. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I know from previous discussion when we discussed this before, I think there was a fair amount of support for this among the council. And with the way this language is written to give it basically a limited tax exemption, I think I can probably be in support of this. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any second rounders? No, I'll support the resolution if I had to. I think it gives the understanding that almost 99.9% of all the money a tribe gets is from the federal government or some entity of the federal government. And I will say that my understanding is there are called downflow from there to the tribe, and how they can spend that money. They don't report it properly. They have to return some portions of that money. So I'm sure they're going to keep a good accounting of what's happening, and city manager and the clerk will get all that information they need if requested and when requested. So I would support it. And that's all I had. City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
They have not.
At this time, I'll restate the motion, and the motion is to amend Chapter 6.40 of the Unalaska Code of Ordinances to provide a limited exemption from sales tax to federally recognized tribes. This ordinance 2022-02. I'll request a roll call vote this time.
Certainly, sir. Councilmember Coleman?
Yes.
Councilmember Bell?
Yes.
Luby?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Ordinance 2022-02 is scheduled for public hearing second reading on February 8th, 2022. And the roll call is 6-0 in favor of moving this on to the second reading. The next item is item B, approval of travel for mayor and council. The first meetings we're going to discuss is the AML Winter Legislative Conference, February 16th and 8th through the 18th on 2020. Two in Juneau. In the past, I'll have the city manager explain maybe the past of what we've done and taken under consideration of COVID and everything else going on. I'll pass it on to the city manager.
I don't have much to. Go ahead.
What we've done in the past, so, and funding issues.
Yeah, so for all three of these, there's enough funding in the council budget to fund travel. As council may be aware, the policy allows for the mayor and up to three council members to go. The only suggestion I would have is that there is an opportunity to save some funding, to save some money if the same folks that go on the city lobby trip also go on that Swampsea lobby or on to the Swampsea conference. Those are right next to each other in the week. So assuming planes fly and all that good stuff, then we would those folks would be able to do that same both stops on the same trip without coming back and forth to Unalaska in between time.
You mentioned the Swampsea, isn't that like a 4 or 5 days later? But the city lobbying trip is February 28th to March 2nd. Due to some changes in what's happening, overlapping, we had to move that one to February 28th to include the March 3rd and 4th meeting of Swampsea. So I'll open it up for individual council members to let me know and city manager know willing to travel on these dates and who is willing to travel. Councilman Tungle.
I'll be interested on the lobbying trip in Juneau in Swampsea for the 28th to the 2nd and 3rd and 4th.
Councilman Robinson?
Yeah, I'm interested in all three of them. I'm on the board of two of them, so.
Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'd be interested in attending the lobbying trip, and it only makes sense to tail that with the Swampsea summit or meeting.
So that'd be two meetings, or?
Yeah. I'll already be out of town, so it makes sense to just roll right into the next one.
All right, thank you. One, two, three, anyone else? We're going to have an arm wrestling for the rest of them. Okay, sounds like we have our three, City Manager, Councilman Tungo, Councilman Robinson, and Councilman Bell will be attending the AML and their lobbying trip and the Swampsea, all three. And it'll be a good 2.5 weeks. You're not going to the AML winter meeting, so Tom, Mr. Bell is not going to AML.
I'm not going to AML.
And you're not going to AML. Okay, that's fine. All right. So we've got two, Councilman Bell, Councilman Tungo going to the city lobbying trip in Swampsea only, and we have Councilman Robinson going to all three, along with myself and the city manager, if she's available. I understand you may not be available to travel, so due to medical. My dates are right.
I'm planning on going to these, to the lobby trip in Swampsea.
Okay. Yep. Okay, thank you. I guess we need a motion and a second to approve the travel to AML Winter Legislative Conference, February 16th and 18th. Motion and a second.
I'll make a motion to approve the council travel for the AML Winter Legislative Conference, February 16th through the 18th, 2022, in Juneau, and the city lobbying trip, February 28th through March 2nd, 2022, and also the Swampsea Economic Summit and membership meeting on March 3rd through the 4th of 2022.
And for the purpose of clarity, the motion is to allow Councilman Robinson to attend all three.
Sorry.
And for Councilman Tungo and Councilman Bell, they're attending the lobby trip and Swampsea. And, of course, to see the mayor.
Are you going to
all three? Yeah. I'll be at all three.
Mr. Mayor?
My chances with COVID. Are there a second?
Mr. Mayor, may I make a suggestion, please?
Yeah.
Can we retract that motion, if you are amenable to that, Councilmember Luby? I think it would be cleaner if we had a separate motion, especially for AML, since that's a separate date, and separate travelers. And we need to name, it would be good if we named the travelers. The finance department likes that for their records, that City Council has approved particular travelers for a particular trip. Because the second and third, the lobbying trip and the Swampsea, have kind of morphed into a joint trip, I think one motion for those two would be fine, as long as we name the people approving to travel. And so I think you have, for the first one, for AML, we have the mayor and Councilmember Robinson. And then for the second and third will be the mayor and Council Members Tungle, Robinson, and Bell.
Okay, yes, I retract my original motion, and I'll make a new motion. The first motion to approve the AML Winter Legislative Conference for February 16th through the 18th, 2022 in Juneau, to approve travel for Mayor Tudikoff and Councilman Robinson.
Second.
Been moved by Councilman Luby and seconded by Councilman Tungo. First motion to approve the AML travel for Councilman Robinson and Mayor Tudikoff to attend the AML Winter Legislative Meeting on February 16th and 18th. That's good. All those, and the roll calls needed?
Yes.
Roll call.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you.
A vote of 6-0, that travel has been approved for AML Winter Legislative Conference. Next motion and a second to approve the travel for a city lobbying trip for Mayor Tudikoff, Councilman Bell, Councilman Tungle, and Councilman Robinson to attend February 28th to March 2nd. Do I need a motion and a second?
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the travel for the city lobbying trip on February 28th through March 2nd, 2022, and the Swampsea Economic Summit and Membership Meeting on March 3rd through the 4th for travel for Mayor Tudikoff, Councilman Robinson, Councilman Tungle, and Councilman Bell.
Okay, thank you. I have a second.
Second.
Second by Councilman Bell. Roll call, please.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
A roll call vote 6-0. The approval for travel for the city lobbying trip on February 28th to March 2nd to allow Mayor Tudikoff, Councilman Robinson, Councilman Bell, Councilman Tungle to attend. Been approved. Next motion and second to approve the travel to Swampsea Economic Summit and Membership Meeting on March 3rd and 4th.
That was,
I combined them.
That's included.
I had
combined them.
Oh, you
computed. Yeah, that's already been done,
they're both
sir.
Approved. Great. They're both approved. I didn't hear the second one. All right, the March Swampsea Economic Summit has been approved also in that prior motion. Next item, council directives to city manager. Are there any directives? And if there are, we need motions and seconds and a roll call vote. Are there any directives? Okay, there are none. Thank you. Community input and announcements, last chance for people to provide information to council or make announcements of interest to the community. Are there any further announcements? In the support the fishermen's deal.
Yes, thank you. AML is following about, like, we're at 201 different bills that we're following. They'll have an effect on municipalities. And if anybody would like a list of those, let me know, and so you can read them. And if you have interest in following those. No, these are legislative bills, House and Senate bills. Right, and we're, like I said, we've identified 201 of them that have a direct effect on municipalities. So if you want, like I said, if you want that list, I'd be happy to send you that list, okay? And then, just let me know if there's something of interest to you. And because I'm on the legislative committee of AML, so we meet every Friday. So that's all, thanks.
Yes, those that are attending AML, you and I guess the only one. I did get a list this morning. I think it was like 60, but I didn't see it. But you have more, so. Okay. I'd like to get them. All right, thanks. Any more announcements?
Yeah.
Council, oh. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mayor and Council. Yeah. So the Legislative Information Office in Onalaska has been closed for, it's like a couple of years. I was wondering if the city could take a stance and ask for it to be reopened. That's
yeah, so we you, could we could ask around and find out why it's been closed, and possibly through COVID, but we'll have to check on
that. Well, I heard at the time that it was lack of attendance, so I think they may not have been doing enough outreach to get people in there. That's one of the legislators said. So it'd be nice if it was reopened. It makes it more accessible to people to be involved and public to go over there and make testimony on issues of importance. So thank you.
Okay, we'll check into that, Jim, and then I know I saw the doors were open the other day, but lights were on in there. It didn't look like anybody was in there, though. You're right. I'll check into it, Tori.
Those are the legislative liaison office here has been closed due to a budget cut, and that's why, and we haven't been able to reinstate it. A number of rural legislative offices have closed, and ours is one of them. And like I said, that was due primarily to budget cuts that they couldn't reinstate.
Well, they raised their, looking at raising their per diem, so maybe they use some of that to open our offices. Yeah. We'll ask our people. Any city clerk, any written comments or folks from Zoom?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. This time, having completed all items on the agenda, this meeting is adjourned at 7:22. We are adjourned at this time. Good night, Unalaska.